Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahavirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastomavidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Okay, so now, because you're trying to establish that the material world is unreal simply because we have attachment to it, and because of this we're being bewildered, right? So, because of that, you know, so the path of jnana is being glorified. Because by seeing in that way, you detach yourself from the material energy, right? But then in answer to the doubt, what is real? He concluded everything with the word Bhagavan. The wise say that the truth is beyond the gunas, containing everything, including liberation, is one without a second, is all-pervading, is Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, and is Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.11. Let us return to the text. Just as an illusion, like two moons, is accepted by a child to be real, things perceived by the senses are accepted as real, though they are not, because of difficulty in thinking otherwise. Of course, this applies not on Tatuni, right? Like that, yeah. Okay. So the idea is that you have the illusion because of how you're perceiving it. The reality is what's being perceived, but how you perceive it, that's where the illusion comes in. So unless we see things in connection with the Lord, then what we see is illusory. Because we're not seeing the fact. It is the Lord. So we don't see that it's the Lord, then it's not, you know, it'd be like, let's say we have a car. And then, you know, you say, what's that? And someone goes, it looks like yellow paint. Right? You understand? So the paint does exist, but it's actually an illusion how they're seeing it. Because it's actually a car, right? It has functions, it has all this kind of thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, the impersonalists try to prove that the varieties in the vision of the empiric philosopher are false. The impersonalist philosophy, Vivartavad, generally cites the acceptance of a rope to be a snake as an example of this fact. According to this example, the varieties within our vision are false, just as a rope seen to be a snake is false. The Vaishnavas say, however, that although the idea that the rope is a snake is false, the snake is not false. One has experience of a snake in reality. Therefore, he knows that although the representation of the rope as a snake is false or illusory, there is a snake in reality. Similarly, this world, which is full of varieties, is not false. It is a reflection of the reality in Vaikuntha world, the spiritual world. So we see the rope and the snake, and you think the rope is a snake, but there is a snake. There is such a thing. The problem is we think that this rope is a snake, just like we think the material world is the actual place for the living entity to be happy. when it's not. It's the spiritual world. So we're mistaking the material world as the rope, you know, for the snake. This is goes back to when Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about Vaikuntha Brahma and Ananda Brahma. We think the material world, the Brahma means illusion, that the illusion that it's Vaikuntha, it's eternal, right? And no problems. And Ananda Brahma, that it's full of happiness. But it's not. That's why it's said in the Upanishad, I mean in the it says in Upanishads, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam about, what's it? Dukalaya Shashvatam. That it's a place of misery and no happiness. It's temporary, right? So that's the whole point. We think it's eternal and it's happy, you know, but it's temporary and it's unhappy. So we're taking this, it is a rope, but we think it's a snake. But the Mayavadis will say, you're thinking the rope's a snake, therefore there's no snake. But we say, no, the snake actually exists. And the rope exists. You just have to know this is rope, that's snake. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in the next four verses, 59 to 62, teach about the three states of perception. Narad Muni continued, in this world there are five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. But the body is not a reflection of them, nor a combination, nor a transformation of them, because the body and its ingredients are neither distinct nor amalgamated. All such theories are insubstantial. Because the body is formed of the five elements, it cannot exist without the subtle sense objects. Therefore, since the body is false, the sense objects are also naturally false or temporary. When a substance and its parts are separated, the acceptance of similarity between one and the other is called illusion. While dreaming, one creates a separation between the existences called wakefulness and sleep. It is in such a state of mind that the regulative principles of the scriptures, consisting of injunctions and prohibitions, are recommended. After concerning the oneness of existence, activity, and paraphernalia, and after realizing the self to be different from all actions and reactions, the mental speculator, Muni, according to his own realization, gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. 59 to 62.
What he's left with? Deep sleep?
Yes, sleep here would mean what we mean deep sleep, where there's no, you're not unconscious. So wakefulness is when you're awake. Dreaming is then in between, and then deep sleep where there's no, one's unconscious.
He gives them up. What he's left with.
What he's left with is Krishna consciousness. He's always absorbed in the Lord, because when he's wakeful, he sees everything in connection to the Lord. If he's dreaming, he's thinking about the Lord, and he never technically goes unconscious. So for this personality, deep sleep simply means fully absorbed in trance in the Lord. It mentions when Krishna, the coward boys, when they go home and go to bed, then the coward boys just dream, think about Krishna all night, you know, dream about that. So it looks like sleep, but they're just in trance on Krishna.
It's a turiya, or state of consciousness, is right?
Yeah, good sense. Narad Muni continued, when one understands that result and cause are one, and that duality is ultimately unreal, like the idea that the threads of a cloth are different from the cloth itself, one reaches the conception of oneness called Bhavadvaita. My dear Yudhishthir, Partha, when all the activities one performs with his mind, words, and body are dedicated directly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches oneness of activities called Kriyadvaita. When the ultimate goal and interest of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied beings is one, this is called Dravyadvaita, or oneness of interest.
It's been a while we used this. Dravya.
Yeah. Dravya is then all the paraphernalia or the things of the field. In normal conditions, in the absence of danger, the the absence of danger, O King Yudhishthira, a man should perform his prescribed duties according to his status of life with the things, endeavors, processes, and living place that are not forbidden for him and not by any other means. Right? So, in other words, what is means is either there's something specifically recommended, but he also lives avoiding what's not recommended. Right? So he finds what situation does not, you know, go against his personal development. Right? So he's always absorbed. So in this way, then, body, mind, and words become engaged in the Lord's service. Right? That's the whole idea. So the idea is that when he can see that everything is connected to Krishna, like the thread and the fabric are not different. Right? They're different, but they're not different. They're the same thing. So the Lord, he is the thread that goes through everything. Krishna makes that point in the Gita. Right? And that way then he's the fabric of everything. So when you see everything in connection to the Lord, then you come to that particular understanding. Then it's a matter of now what are you going to do? Then you're going to perform all your activities, right? And then but what are you going to use in activities? You're going to use paraphernalia. Right? So the field of action is applied with proper understanding. With that, and its focus is then on the Supreme Lord. So then you can see everything in connection with the Supreme Lord. Does that make sense? So that's what you're trying to do. O King, one should perform his occupational duties according to these instructions, as well as other instructions given in the Vedic literature, just to remain a devotee of Lord Krishna. Thus, even while at home, one will be able to reach the destination. O King Yudhishthira, because of your service to the Supreme Lord, all of you Pandavas defeated the greatest dangers posed by numerous kings and demigods. By serving the lotus feet of Krishna, you conquered great enemies, who were like elephants, and thus you collected ingredients for sacrifice. By his grace, you may be delivered from material involvement. 63-68. Srila Prabhupada comments. Placing himself as an ordinary householder, Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired from Narad Muni how a griha mudhadi, a person who is entangled in household life and who thus continues to remain a fool, can be delivered. Narad Muni encouraged Maharaj Yudhishthira by saying, "You are already on the safe side because you, along with your entire family, have become a pure devotee of Krishna." Because that means that he's that dravya dvaita. Means the paraphernalia and the Lord have become non-one, and that they're only engaged in the Lord's service. By Krishna's grace, the Pandavas conquered in the battle of Kurukshetra and were saved from many dangers posed not only by kings, but sometimes even by the demigods. Thus they are a practical example of how to live in security and safety by the grace of Krishna. Everyone should follow the example of the Pandavas, who showed how to be saved by the grace of Krishna. Right? So they're in their position, they're in their duties, but they're always dependent upon Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is always taking care. 69-80, Narad Muni's prior experience as a Gandharva. Narad Muni continued, "Long, long ago, in another Mahakalpa, millennium of Brahma, I existed as the Gandharva known as Upabarhana. I was very respected by the other Gandharvas. I had a beautiful face and a pleasing, attractive bodily structure." Right? So, he didn't say, "I was a great, you know, manager, a singer, or this or that." Just, "I look good. And so I was respected by the other Gandharvas."
Isn't that the most important for Gandharva?
It could be. You know? I mean, it's not that they don't know how to organize and everything, but probably amongst themselves is who looks better is actually... Yeah, so it would be, why would he have a beautiful face and a pleasing, attractive bodily structure?
He's
pious, yes, because of dharma. So that means they're all there because of dharma, so he's done that touch more than they have, so naturally they respect him for being more pious. But the purpose of it is then you can get more from it. Right? You know, so it's not just they're all sitting around and impressed by their piety. But, not necessarily. It doesn't say that he's a Brahma Gandharva, because you have two kinds. You have the Gandharvas, then you have Brahma Gandharvas.
My point was that those who are impressed by Dharma sit on Brahma Loka.
Yes, they would be up there. Yes, they would be the personified Vedas, which is coming up. That's in the next year. It's coming up next year. Okay. Decorated with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp, I was most pleasing to the women of my city. Thus I was bewildered, always feeling lusty desires. 69-70. Srila Prabhupada comments. Upabharhana was Narad Muni's name previously. Upabharhana was specifically expert in decorating himself to attract the attention of women, and thus he became a playboy, as described in the next verse. Right? So it's not a new, it's not that Mr.
new concept.
Yeah, not that Mr. Hefner has somehow or another figured something out. No, just, as we'll see, as it's pointed out. To be a playboy in this life is unfortunate because too much attraction to women will lead one to fall into the association of Shudras, who can easily take advantage of mingling with women without restriction. In this present age of Kali, when people are Manda Sumanda Matayo, very bad because of a Shudra mentality, such free mingling is prominent. Among the higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya, there is no chance for men to mingle with women freely. But in the Shudra community, such mingling is open. Right, so that's the things we talk about, this modern kind of scenario, but it's actually just the Shudra mentality to mingle. Because the point is, it's about not mingling. Human life is for getting out of here. Animal life is for mingling. Right? You know, that's the idea. Because there is no cultural education in this age of Kali, everyone is spiritually untrained, and everyone is therefore to be considered Shudra. Ashudha Shudra Kalpa Hi Brahmana Kali Sambhava. When all the people become Shudras, certainly they are very bad. Manda Sumanda Matayo. Thus they manufacture their own way of life, with the result that they gradually become unfortunate, mandabhagya. And furthermore, they are always disturbed by various circumstances. So that's a problem. Get into the Shudra mentality, so then everybody just mixes freely however they like, just engaging the senses, and then they're always disturbed. So that's the point, because then it's constant disturbance, because there's no regulation, there's no set structure. When there's a structure, then you can be peaceful. But when everything's just, you know, what are the possibilities? Anything can happen, you know, like this. You know, sitting around waiting for the magic, then you're going to be disturbed. Because generally speaking, there is no magic.
But the bumper sticker says so.
Yes, the bumper sticker says, and yes. Shudras are mixing. It's not that they're engaged in illicit activities, but they can move around freely together and stuff like that. So that's what we don't understand. We want the position of brahmanas, but we want also the social structure, the facility of shudras. That's where the difficulty comes in. So our application of this will definitely be lower than shudra. You know, like that. It's just a matter of where it is, because it's human. It means they're following the rules for humans, but it's not so... The regulation, the strictness is not so much there. In other words, they are in support of the dwijas, and they properly perform their duties like that. So then, because of that, it's progressive. But as antijas, we take advantage of that just for how much we can get out of a sense gratification. But then that's a difference. So what you're thinking about is, you know, can say freely in the open. What is it? Where did Prabhupada say this? Yeah, okay. There's no chance for men to mingle with women freely, right? So that, when we see is on the street, then that's dogs. So that's not shudras, technically. So like what you said, that's antichas. They're lower. So here it's just the higher, they all hang out, they all sit and talk and all, you know, laugh and joke. And, you know, it's just like you could say is in the shudra community that men and women may flirt, but if they do nothing, it's considered okay. But in the Brahminical society, you would not flirt, because that can lead to anything else. But for there, it's just, you know, they like to live on the edge. It's kind of, you know, it's more exciting and all that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the shooter mentality. Yes.
But it's not even that something else can happen. It's like if you're interacting on a subtle platform, you're still giving that, exchanging that energy.
Yes, that's there. But the point is, as long as it doesn't turn into anything from the subtle to gross, then it's considered okay. You know what I'm saying? That's why you see in the modern scenarios, let's say you have a formal, like we say, a formal meal, you know, these big dinner tables and all that, it'll always be arranged that sitting next to each other is man, woman, man, woman, man, woman, like that, and then opposite to you, if the men are opposite woman, and opposite the women are men. So, in other words, you have one man, there's two women on each side of him, one is straight in front of him. And for every woman, there's two men on each side and one straight in front. So it's specifically arranged. That's the way you have to arrange a formal dinner. I'm just saying that's the rules, not that, you know, and they'll say, no, that's just the proper way to do it. So those in aristocracy, and that's how you set it up.
It's all about agitating.
Yeah, it's just about creating. So otherwise, their life is, you know, without Krishna, life is boring. So we try to create something. But, you know, only a little bit. If it gets too much, then that's undignified. And so that's the... Narada Muni continued, once there was a Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord in the assemblies of the demigods, and the Gandharvas and Apsaras were invited by the Prajapatis to take part in it. Srila Prabhupada comments, the Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement, as people sometimes mistakenly think. The Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennia of Lord Brahma's life, and the holy name is chanted in all the higher planetary systems, including Brahma Loka and Chandra Loka. Not to speak of Gandharva Loka and Apsara Loka. The Sankirtan movement that was started in this world 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore not a new movement. Sometimes because of our bad luck, this movement is stopped. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants again start the movement for the benefit of the entire world, or indeed the entire universe. So it's not a new thing, as pointed out. So all these things, sometimes Prabhupada made it, like the four regulative principles. I don't know if people still talk about it like that, but there was a time, I think back in the 90s or something, the early knots that it came out. Well, Prabhupada, you know, created these things. They're not there in the Vedic culture, right? But it's directly there in Manu. So Manu is the standard for human beings. He spends a lot of time discussing these things. So nothing's new. It's just being reestablished because due to bad luck, it gets lost. And then it's reestablished. You know, just like the Gita is there, spoken by Krishna to Vibhasvan. And then it comes down, and then it gets lost, so then he speaks it again. Because you see, Nanda Maharaj and others speaking about Bhagavad Gita, quoting Bhagavad Gita in Braj, when Krishna's in Braj, before he goes to Dwarka. Because the Gita's always been there. It's a body of knowledge that's there. Some know it, but generally it gets lost. So then, again, it's re-spoken. Right? The Pancharatra is there, then with time it gets lost. Narada Muni reintroduces it. So it's, you know, it's standard. Things are there, it's glorious, then it all gets lost, then it's re-established again. Narada Muni continued, being invited to that festival, I also joined, and surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Because of this, the Prajapatis, the great demigods in charge of the affairs of the universe, forcefully cursed me with these words. Because you have committed an offense, you may immediately become a Shudra, devoid of beauty. Srila Prabhupada comments, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. One should chant about and glorify Lord Vishnu, not any demigod. Unfortunately, there are foolish persons who invent some process of kirtan on the basis of a demigod's name. This is an offense. yoga studios, take note. Kirtan means glorifying the Supreme Lord, not any demigod. Sometimes people invent Kali Kirtan or Shiva Kirtan, and even big sannyasis in the Mayavadi school say that one may chant any name and still get the same results. But here we find that millions and millions of years ago, when Narad Muni was in Gandharva, he neglected the order to glorify the Lord. And being mad in the association of women, he began to chant otherwise. Thus, he was cursed to become a Shudra. His first offense was that he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of lusty women. And another offense was that he considered ordinary songs, like cinema songs and other such songs, to be equal to Sankirtana. For this offense, he was punished with becoming a Shudra.
His intent was good. Intent was good. He wanted to please the demigods.
Seeing that it wasn't their program, technically is he wanted to please the ladies. That's why he said, because it was they were doing Sankirtan about the Lord. That's what Prabhupada mentioned. There was a Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord in an assembly of the demigods.
He crashed the party.
No, he was the Gandharvas and Apsaras were invited. So, being Gandharva, he came with plenty of Apsaras. So he was there, but the problem is he was not paying attention what it's for. So it wasn't about glorifying the Lord. He was just, because it's an opportunity to sing, so he's singing and showing off for the ladies. Right? And the ladies were most likely encouraging him and very happy that he was giving them their attention, since he was, one of the better looking, if not one of the best looking Gandharvas around. So, it was all working out to all of their advantage, right? But as we can see, because it was about Krishna, and he's singing about demigods to please the ladies, therefore to please himself, not Krishna, therefore then that's why they cursed him.
So, could you say that Narada Muni is not eternal associate?
No, and why would you think that?
Well, is this story for the purpose of last time?
This story is for the purpose so that we get some benefit.
Yeah. So he didn't become Narada Muni. He was always Narada Muni. But
yes, but that's not described here. Because the point is that's the question he's showing. Because King Yudhishthira is asking, how does he become perfect as a Grihastha? Right? In the situation he's in. So he figures that he's not in a good position. What was the term used? Griha mudhadi, right? Person who's entangled in household life, and thus continues to remain a fool, right? So he considers himself like that. So how can he get to that transcendental platform? So then Narad Muni is giving example from his previous lifetime that he was, how you say, griha mudhadi to the tenth, like that. So he was, really mudha, aspect. And so then he's come to the transcendental position he's in. So that means Narad Muni can come, Yudhishthira can come to that position. So it's about that. Because then the question is Yudhishthira Maharaj actually griha mudhadi? Or is he an eternal associate of the Lord? Like that. So that's the whole point.
Okay. So
only this part of the story is told, because that's all that's necessary.
So like the Bhagavad Gita always existed, but then there was a time at Gita Jayanti when it was spoken, and then it became into existence like in a new way. So for the purpose of the pastime, so this Narada Muni was always Narada Muni, but then he became this mudha for the purpose of the pastime, and then he went back to being Narada Muni.
No, he goes another. He takes birth as a Sudra.
Oh yeah, and then he goes to Narada.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like that. See, yeah, that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Narad Muni continued. Although I took birth as a Shudra from the womb of a maidservant, I engaged in the service of the Vaishnavas who are well versed in Vedic knowledge. Right? Because you have all kinds all kinds of situations as Shudras, but then it'll also be an unfortunate position because he only had his mother. Right, and so when women don't have any other facility, then they might take up doing service, in somebody's household or things like that. That keeps them in that natural kind of home environment, but unfortunately it's someone else's house. But by doing activities there, then they can take care of themselves. So that's the way his mother was. So you can see it's not an ideal, it wasn't like a glorious Shudra position like that. But it was, you know, that was, you know, it's like a, yeah. I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas who were well versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as the son of Lord Brahma. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that by this chanting, even householders, grihasthas, can very easily gain the ultimate result achieved by persons in the renounced order. Maharaj Yudhishthira, I have now explained to you that process of religion. Right? So, the point is it's so powerful that anybody can take advantage and get benefit. That's the whole point, because he's pointing out is that he was in a very unfortunate situation, right, from his previous life of unfortunate mentality. And so now he's able to, through the absorption of the Lord's holy name, he's become now the son of Lord Brahma, you know, in a transcendental position. So that's all that's being discussed. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's why more of the story is not told.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Srila Prabhupada comments, this is a confirmation of the Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone who takes part in this movement, regardless of what he is, can gain the topmost result achieved by a perfect sannyasi, namely Brahma Gyan, spiritual knowledge. Even more important, he can advance in devotional service. Right? To have the knowledge, that's okay, the beginning stage. But to actually be able to do service, that's more important. Right? Because that's what one's trying to get to. Maharaj Yudhishthira thought that because he was a grihastha, there was no hope of his being liberated. And therefore he asked Narad Muni how he could get out of material entanglement. But Narad Muni, citing a practical example from his own life, established by associating with devotees and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, any man in any condition of life can achieve the highest perfection without a doubt. Just thought of another interesting incongruity. you can still use it, but it's just general. Before, you had an actor and an actress, right? But now they're just all called actors, right? It means if you say actress, means at least the older ones won't get upset. Maybe the younger ones will get bent out of shape, but the older ones won't. And so, therefore, they're using the masculine title, and that's considered a step up. Right? But then when Prabhupada's books, it mentions about he or man, then everyone gets better. Where does it say she? Isn't that going in the opposite direction? Right? So, funny. Okay. Narad Muni continued, my dear Maharaj Yudhishthira, you Pandavas are so very fortunate in this world that many, many great saints who can purify all the planets of the universe come to your house just like ordinary visitors. Right? So it's not that it's a big thing that they're coming and it's all like this, it's that they just want to go to spend time with Yudhishthira Maharaj because he's such a great devotee. Right? Because they're advanced in spiritual culture and he's advanced, so then there's that natural community there. Or they even see him as he's always associating with the Lord and they're just sages, and so that he's even in a better position than them. Hmm? The mingling freedom. And like it said, always in a miserable condition, always unfortunate, so they're always disturbed by various circumstances. So this is a result.
Confirmed.
Yes. Furthermore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is living confidentially with you in your house, just like your brother. Footnote 27. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 31 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 5, entitled The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord, Bhagavat Shakti Tatvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book.
Is this verse 31 and here's 75? Which one of them?
Is it 31 or 75?
I don't have a book right now, sorry.
You don't have a book. I'm the only one with a book?
No.
Everybody has a book.
Everyone has a book. I have a book.
You have a book. So what's verse 31? 42.
Okay, so 40, yeah, must be 75.
Not 31.
No. What's the typo?
About the yogi restricts his mind and material attachments and gives up all.
Typo. So it should be 75.
Okay. So just the energy. So the Lord and his energy. He's the... So the devotees, the sages, all the different energies, they come to establish and interact. So like that. So his situation, you can say, that's a good situation. Right? He's there. He's absorbed in the Lord. That's the whole point. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "You are better than Prahlad and others. Definitely you're far superior to all the Varnas, including Brahmanas and all the ashrams such as Brahmachari." This verse is repeated. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10:48. Okay, they say it now, and I must say it again when they're going through the pastimes, the Dwarka pastimes. Narad Muni continued, "How wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Parabrahman, Krishna, who is sought by great, great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director, and your spiritual master. Present here now is that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva." Right, so this discussion's going on, Krishna's sitting there. So you can imagine how, nicely situated in Krishna consciousness, Narad Muni, that he can freely speak in front of Krishna and not worry that he's saying something stupid. Right? Because he's self-realized, therefore what he knows is the absolute truth. Right? And by Krishna's grace, he's able to say something. Yeah. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that same personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. So silence means not being absorbed in material, thought or sound or something like this, yes. And then, what's the other? Devotional service by the activities and cessation of material activities means he... And so he gives up the material activities, and he situates himself always absorbed in Krishna. So giving up the material activities, engaged in Krishna conscious activities, always absorbed in the Lord. So then you see the Sambandhavi Day and Prayojan. In his purport to verse 76, Srila Prabhupada comments, "Krishna does not become the direct spiritual master unless one is fully trained by his representative spiritual master. Therefore, as we have already discussed, the Lord's representative spiritual master should not be considered an ordinary human being." Right? So that's the idea. You're dealing with the spiritual master. That will bring you to the platform where Krishna will be comfortable to deal with you. Because if you can't deal with the spiritual master, how you'll be able to deal with Krishna? We have the idea, no, that I'm so special. I, of course, can go over the heads and all this, and I can deal directly. But the point is no. You have to deal through the parampara. I think there's a story not sure if Lokanath Goswami or Lochandas Thakur, I'm not sure. He approached Lord Chaitanya and he said, I'm my older brother, like that. So he sent him to Nityananda. So he goes to Nityananda and said, "Hey, Advaitacharya, he's my senior," like this. And they just kept going down the parampara, sending him until he got to his spiritual master. Then, when he offered his prayers to the spiritual master, then the spiritual master took him back up the parampara until he got to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya accepted. So that's the method. Is the Lord likes us to come through the representative spiritual master. If we don't do that, to him it's not pleasing. We may think it's
Pristina
is good for you. It's advantageous, like that. It gives good results. But actually it doesn't. Krishna doesn't recognize it. He's not impressed. And like devotees would try to, let's say there's a managerial thing in a temple, and the devotees would go directly to him. He'd tell them, no, you go to the, you try to work it out with the president. That doesn't work. Then you go to the GBC. Then if that doesn't, that'll come to him. you know, spiritual things, you could deal directly with him because he's a spiritual master. But as far as management, you had to go through the system. So that's just how it works. Does that make sense? In his purport to verse, we just did that. This representative spiritual master never gives any false knowledge to the disciple, but only perfect knowledge. Thus he is the representative of Krishna. Krishna helps as the guru or spiritual master from within and from without. From without he helps the devotee as his representative, and from within he talks personally with the pure devotee and gives him instructions by which he may return home back to Godhead. Right, so inside as super soul, outside as a spiritual master. But if you're not dealing with the representative of the Lord properly, then how are we going to hear the Lord? Because they're going to say the same thing. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhishthira, the best member of the Bharata dynasty, thus learned everything from the descriptions of Narad Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart, and in great ecstasy, love, and affection, he worshipped Lord Krishna. Narad Muni, being worshipped by Krishna and Maharaj Yudhishthira, bade them farewell and went away. Yudhishthira Maharaj, having heard that Krishna, his cousin, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was struck with wonder. On all the planets within this universe, the varieties of living entities, moving and non-moving, including the demigods, demons, and human beings, were all generated from the daughters of Maharaj Daksha. I have now described them and their different dynasties. Okay, so now all the daughters of Daksha have been described. Because that was the whole idea of this canto. Yes?
Just back on the other thing that you said before. One time you said that one can accept, like this, a guru can be on different levels, like gurus can be on different levels. Mm-hmm. And there's like neophyte, gurus that can be neophytes and...
Yeah.
So, would they still, like a guru that is on a lower platform, would they still be saying the same thing as the Lord?
Point is that if they're following the process where they're given the instructions as they've received it from the spiritual master, then yes, it's just realization may be different, but the point is the connection is there, the chit potency is there. Otherwise, how is it new devotees make other people into devotees?
Yeah, but maybe it's not because of what they say exactly.
It's the chit potency.
Yeah.
The point is if they're connected and the chit potency is there, you'll get the benefit.
Okay.
Whether they get the benefit, that's another thing, but you'll get the benefit. That make sense?
Yeah,
I'm
saying that they can connect as far as they're situated on their own.
Situated on their own means?
They can connect to you as far as they're...
Yeah, it means as far, means they can connect you, but the realization will be as according to their. But the connection, that's a connection. It's not that. Does that make sense? Means connecting to the chit potency, that's one thing. Then the relationships that are developed there and the understandings, that's what is we can talk about developing. Just like the Diksha Guru, he connects you to the Sampradaya, right? But, so that doesn't mean that if he has trouble, you're not connected anymore. People try to say that, but that's not how it works. You know, it's just like, let's say a couple gets married, you know, the priest is very nice, and then the priest has problems and goes away. Now are they not married?
That would be good anyway.
Easy. Yeah, you understand? The connection is made. It's the way it is. So that's the whole point, is that is there. But one's advancement and all that, then that may be means how much they can give input will be according to their realization. Yeah.
So he's saying the same thing as Krishna, but on just not as much as, or not to the fullest extent.
No, but the point is, The fullest extent of Krishna is unlimited. We're 10,000, the tip of the hair. How much of that unlimited you're going to get? It's the connection to Krishna. It's you're trying to understand the instruction of the spiritual master that pleases Krishna. Therefore, Krishna reveals. Krishna is the one revealing, so that you're sincerely trying to serve. That's what pleases Krishna. It's not karma that because he said these words and that's why I advanced.
No, I'm just trying to understand how the spiritual master and Krishna are saying the same thing.
Because it's the same instructions.
Yeah.
Because Krishna said it in Gita, and so then you say what Krishna said, and so then that's the same.
Yeah, that's fine. And now I'm trying to understand how a spiritual master on a lower level would be saying the same as Krishna.
Because it's the same thing.
Okay. But just
surrender unto, give up all varieties of religion, surrender unto Krishna. That's what Krishna said. Now how much realization they have of that,
okay,
what it means, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, end of the seventh canto. Where does he get into all the details of what he did as the maid of servants and everything?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was there. Okay, first canto. Oh, that's right. He told it. Yeah, I was thinking there's so much more detail like that. I was thinking that the verses are there, and it's just he did it in 2-3 verses. That's the first canto. Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking, where did I get the 50 upsaras from? That's from first canto. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana ki.